بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through and studied the names of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also his birth, and the fact that he grew up as an orphan, and that he was cared by his grandfather Abdul Muttalib after the death of his father. And then after the death of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, he was cared by Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, he protected him and he cared for him until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 50 years old, i.e. even after marriage. And in this lesson, we're going to go through some aspects of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam before he was a prophet. And the author said, and it's page 27 in your books, he said, وَطَّهَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ دَنَسِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. That Allah Ta'ala, he protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from following the filth and the evils of jahiliyyah. وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. And Allah protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even before he was a prophet, from the evil ways. وَمَنَحَهُ كُلَّ خُلُقٍ جَمِيلٍ. And he bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every beautiful character or characteristic. حَتَّى لَمْ يَكُنْ يُعْرَفُ بَيْنَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا بِالْأَمِينِ. To the extent that amongst his people, even before prophethood, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was only known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. لِمَا شَاهَدُوا مِنْ أَمَانَتِهِ وَصِدْقِ حَدِيثِهِ وَطَهَارَتِهِ. Due to what the people saw from his integrity, his trustworthiness, his truthfulness, and his pure nature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given prophethood, Allah protected him from the people and the ways of the people in al-jahiliyyah. And Allah said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَعَصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Verily, Allah will protect you from the people. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even before prophethood, he never ate from the meat which was slaughtered in the name of the idols. And it was never narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that his blessed hand ever touched an idol. And it was never narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ever bowed down or prostrated in front of an idol. And it was not known from his character that he would drink alcohol, no commit adultery and fahisha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from such actions. And also, the Prophet was born in wedlock, i.e. the Prophet was never born out of adultery. Rather, his parents and his grandparents and his forefathers, all of them, they were married and children were born. And the Prophet mentioned this. He said, وُلِدْتُ مِن نِكَاحٍ لَا مِن سَفَاحٍ. That I was born out of nikah. I was born in marriage. I was never born in adultery or as a result of adultery. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he protected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam like this. His lineage was noble and his characteristic was noble. His character was noble and he never approached the impurities that other people approached. And also, he was never known for lying, nor did he used to break his promises, neither did he cheat and deceive the people. He was not treacherous, he wouldn't harm others, he wouldn't harm the weak. He was close to the poor and he would help them. And all of this was before Islam. And then when Islam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Quran was revealed, then further goodness was endowed upon him. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before being a prophet, he was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. The meaning of As-Sadiq, the truthful one. And the meaning of Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. So people knew that when he spoke the truth. They never experienced lies from the Prophet, even when he was an ordinary man before Islam. And also they would give him their property, they would give him their wealth, and he would look after them. So much so that even after the people became enemies to him and they were harming him after prophethood and he wanted to make hijrah, he still had with him some property of the people that people had given him as a trust. And when he made hijrah, he left the property of the people with Ali radiallahu anhu, so that Ali radiallahu anhu returns the trust to the people. And one of the famous stories which shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was known for being truthful even before prophethood was when prophethood came to him, he climbed the mountain called Jabal Safa. He climbed this mountain. And then he shouted out, Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha. And this word Sabaha, it was a code that the Quraysh would use to alert the people of an enemy who is coming. So it was a code word that they would use. They would climb this mountain, and if anybody shouted out this word, then this means there's an imminent threat, a danger, an army who is approaching. So the people started to gather around him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called the tribes by their names. He said, Ya Bani Fihrin, O tribe of Fihr. Ya Bani Adi, O tribe of Adi. Ya Bani Fulan, Ya Bani Fulan, O tribe of so and so, O tribe of so and so. Ya Bani Abd Manaf, O tribe of Abdul Manaf. Ya Bani Abdul Muttalib, O tribe of Abdul Muttalib. So all of them, they gathered around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And at this time, nobody knew that he was a prophet. Nobody knew that he had received revelation. So when they gathered around the man that they knew as Muhammad, he said, أَرَأَيْتُكُمْ لَوْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْلًا بِالْوَادِي بِسَفْحٍ هَذَا الْجَبَلْ تُرِيدُ أَنْ تَغِيرَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِي. If I was to inform you that there is a cavalry, an army behind this mountain, and they are approaching in order to attack you, أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِي, will you believe me? And the people, they said, Na'am, of course we will believe you. مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا, because we have never experienced any lie from you. مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا, we have only experienced from you that you speak the truth. And then he said, فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. So if you're going to believe me that an army is about to attack you, and if you know me to tell the truth, and you have never experienced any lie from you, then I inform you that I have been sent as a warner, warning you from the terrible punishment. And then he called them to Tawheed, and he called them to the worship of one God, and that they should abandon the idols. So this was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his character even before prophethood. The author said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ, or when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached 12 years old, خَرَجَ مَعَ عَمِّهِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ إِلَى الشَّامِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a young boy, he was 12 years old. He went with his uncle Abu Talib to Sham, i.e. north towards Syria. Hatta balagha Busra, until they came to an area in Sham called Busra. And this was the livelihood of the Quraysh. The Quraysh, they would take two journeys because they were traders. So in the summer, when the weather is extremely hot and warm, they would go north towards Syria and they would buy, and they would come back to Quraysh and they would sell. And in the winter, when the weather is cooler, they would go down south to Yemen. And again, they would trade and buy. And this is what Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Quraysh. He said, رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, the journey which you take in the summer and the winter. I.e. in the summer when it is warm, you go north, where the climate is cooler in Sham. And in the winter when it is very warm in Makkah, you go south, where the climate is warmer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was a young boy of 12 years old, his uncle Abu Talib, he took him with him to Sham, to Syria, to an area called Busra, to buy and sell and to accompany him, to train him in the trade of buying and selling. فَرَآهُ بُحَيْرَى الرَّاهِبِ. And when the Prophet was there and he was 12 years old, there was a monk whose name was Buhayra. And he saw this young boy. فَعَرَفَهُ بِصِفَتِهِ. And this monk, he noticed that this young boy, there was something special about him. فَجَاءَ فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِهِ. So he came to this young boy and he took him by his hand. Remember, this is a Christian monk upon Christianity. فَقَالْ هَذَا سَيِّدُ الْعَالَمِينَ. And he said that this young boy, he will be the master of the creation. هَذَا رَسُولُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, because he is the messenger of the Lord of the worlds. هَذَا يَبْعَثُهُ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And this one, Allah will send him as a mercy to all of mankind. Around him was Abu Talib and the rest of the elders of the Quraysh. They said, وَمَا عَلَّمَكَ بِذَلِكَ. And how do you know that this is going to be a prophet and a great person when he grows up? He said, the monk said, إِنَّكُمْ حِينَ أَقْبَلْتُمْ, that when all of you were approaching, لَمْ يَبْقَ شَجَرَةٌ وَلَا حَجَرٌ إِلَّا خَرَّ سَاجِدًا, that there was no tree, nor was there any boulder, except that it would prostrate in front of this boy. وَلَا يَسْجُدُونَ إِلَّا لِنَبِيٍّ, and the trees and the stones, they don't prostrate to anybody except that he is a prophet. وَإِنَّا نَجِدُهُ فِي كُتُبِنَا, and we have found his remembrance and mention in our books. وَسَأَلَ أَبَا طَالِبٍ, and the monk Buhayra, he asked Abu Talib. فَرَدَّهُ خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ, and then the monk, he took the boy back to his uncle Abu Talib, because he was scared of the plots of Al-Yahud. Because the Nasara and the Yahud, both of them, they were awaiting a prophet. They knew that soon there's going to be some prophet. And they didn't know that, is he going to be from Bani Israel? Or is he going to be from the Arabs? Or is he going to be from the Nasara? But they knew that there's a prophet who has been prophesied and he's coming soon. And this monk Buhayra, he also recognized the Prophet from other things. So he looked at the back of the Prophet and he noticed the seal of the Prophet. In the books it was mentioned that behind the shoulders of the Prophet will be a seal, some skin which will be at the back of his shoulders. And when he looked, he saw that sign. And he saw that how the clouds would shade this young boy as he was walking. And he would see that the tree, or the shade of the tree, would extend to where the Prophet was sitting. All of these were signs that this is going to be a prophet. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ ثَانِيًا إِلَى الشَّامِ. And then this young boy, 12 years old, with Abu Talib and the rest of the Quraysh, went back to Makkah. And then a second time, when he was much older, the Prophet, he went to Sham again. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before prophethood, he took two journeys to Sham. One when he was 12 years old, and then a second one when he himself was an independent, well-known trader and businessman. And at that time, he went to Sham with Maysara. And Maysara, he was a servant or a maid of a woman called Khatija. And Khatija was a woman, a businesswoman, from the Quraysh, of high lineage and high nobility. She was also known for intelligence
and how clever she was, and her integrity and dignity. And so the Prophet, and this is before prophethood, when he was in his early 20s, he went with Maysara and he went to Sham, and he bought and sold and traded in Sham. And this was the second journey which he took. So Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, she had money with her, and she wanted somebody trustworthy to trade with her money. So she gave that money to this man called Muhammad, and she sent with him her servant Maysara. And Muhammad, he went to Sham, and he bought merchandise with this money, and he came back to Mecca, and he sold it, and he made a big profit. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received this profit and he received his wage, he divided his wealth into three groups or three types. He said, ثُلُثٌ أَتَصَدَّقُ بِهِ, that a third of this wealth, I'm going to give it to the poor. And remember, this is before prophethood, but still he would give to the poor. He said, وَثُلُثٌ أَتَزَوَّجُ بِهِ, and a third I'm going to save, so I can marry with this money. وَثُلُثٌ أَتَمَتَّعُ بِهِ, and a third of my wealth I'm going to spend and enjoy. And this in of itself is a good methodology for a Muslim to live by. That a person gives some of his wages to the poor, and some of his wages he spends on his needs, like saving for marriage, and some of his wages he spends for himself. So when he mentioned to Khadija that a third of this wealth I'm going to spend on my marriage, because she knew of his character and his intelligence and his trustworthiness and his nobility, she sent a message through one of her maid servants whether Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would marry her. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ خَمْسًا وَعِشْرِينَ تَزَوَّجَ خَتِيجَ. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course before prophethood, when he was 25 years old, he married this woman Khadija. And he was 25 years old, and she was at that time 40 years old. So he married a woman who was much older than him. And as long as Khadija remained alive, he married no other woman. She was the only woman that he was married to. And then when Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, and he was 50 years old at that time, then he married other women. And Khadija radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even after his death, he would praise her a lot, because she was a big support for him. And when prophethood was given to him and revelation came down to him, she was the one who supported him. And she was the first to believe in him. And she encouraged him to carry on the message. And even after death, he would mention Khadija. Khadija radiallahu anha, she had a sister whose name was Hala. And even after the Prophet moved to Al-Madinah, he would send food and he would send gifts back to Mecca to the sister of Khadija and to the family of Khadija. And Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the wives of the Prophet, she mentions, مَا غِرْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّن زَوْجَاتِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا غِرْتُ عَلَىٰ خَتِيجَ. She said, I never became jealous of any one of the wives of the Prophet like I became jealous of Khadija. وَلَقَدْ مَاتَتْ قَبْلَ أَن يَتَزَوَّجْنِي. Even though she died before the Prophet married me. Meaning Aisha, she never met Khadija. She never knew Khadija. But she would hear the Prophet mentioning his name and praising her. And therefore she would be taken by the natural jealousy which a woman has towards another woman. She said, وَلَكِنْ كَانَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُكْثِرُ مِنْ ذِكْرِهَا. That even though Khadija died 5 years before the Prophet married Aisha, but he would mention her a lot. And one day, the Prophet heard the voice of Hala, who was a sister of Khadija. And he remembered Khadija. He said, Allahumma Hala. He said, O Allah, Hala. Meaning, O Allah, it is Hala. O Allah, it is the sister of Khadija. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, she became jealous. She said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, Ma tadhkuru min ajuzatin min ajaiz al-Quraysh. Why do you keep remembering this old woman from the old women of Quraysh? Halakat fi dahr, and she has already died a while ago. Qad abdalaka Allah khayran minha, and Allah has given you somebody who is better than her, meaning me. Khatija radiallahu anha, when the Prophet married her, she was a divorcee. She was a widow, she wasn't a virgin. The only virgin who the Prophet married was Aisha. And yet despite this, the Prophet used to always mention Khatija. And the Prophet replied to her, to Aisha, she said, Innaha wa innaha. She was and she was. She was and she was. Meaning she was my support. She was my wife. She was my friend. And he mentioned good things about her. And also the children of the Prophet were born from Khatija. The daughters of the Prophet, all of them were born from Khatija radiallahu anha. And then the author mentioned the revelation. How revelation came to the Prophet. He said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةٍ اِخْتَصَّهُ اللَّهُ بِكِرَامَتِهِ وَابْتَعَثَهُ بِرِسَالَتِهِ. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was 40 years old, Allah chose him and honored him with his blessings. And Allah gave him the revelation, the message. أَتَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَهُوَ بِغَارِ حِرَىٰ. Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, i.e. angel Jibreel, and the Prophet was in the cave of Al-Hira. And this is a mountain in Mecca. فَأَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ 13 سَنَةً. And then after prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he remained in Mecca for 13 years. So previously, the author mentioned, what was this man like before prophethood? And his character and his qualities before prophethood. Now he mentions how this man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, when he became 40 years old, how prophethood came to him. The story of him receiving the message. And he mentioned that the Prophet, he was 40 years old when prophethood came to him. And some of the ulama mention that he was 40 years old and 6 months. And this is the way of the Arabs, that often somebody will be 40 years old, 40 and a half years old, 41 years old, maybe even 42 years old, and they'll say 40. So he was 40 years old and he was 6 months. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, the first chapter in his Sahih is Bab Bad'ul Wahi, the chapter of the beginning of revelation. And in this chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he mentions the lengthy hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, how revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, she said, أَوَّلُ مَا بُدْيَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam مِنَ الْوَحِي. That the first revelation or indicators of revelation which were coming to the Prophet was الرُّؤْيَا الصَّالِحَ فِي النَّوْمِ. That whilst the Prophet was sleeping, he would see dreams, good dreams. فَكَانَ لَا يَرَى رُؤْيَا إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلَ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. And whenever the Prophet would see a good dream, then it would become true, like the morning appears. Meaning just like the morning appears, like this, the dreams of the Prophet, they would be truthful. ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَىٰ. And then, him being alone and isolating himself from the rest of the society became his practice. It was something which he desired and it was beloved to him. Meaning, after the Prophet would see these good dreams, dream after dream, and then they would be true the next day, then the Prophet had a feeling inside him that he wanted to isolate himself from the rest of the people. وَكَانَ يَخْلُ بِغَارِ حِرَىٰ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would climb the mountain and he would stay in the cave which is called Al-Hira. And this cave is still there and it is well known. فَيَتَحَنَّثُ فِيهِ. And then he would meditate whilst he was in this cave. And when we say meditate, meaning he would isolate himself and he would think in isolation. And then she said that he would remain there layali ذوات العدد, and then he would remain there many nights. Maybe 10 nights, 2 weeks, 15 nights, 20 nights, he'd remain in Al-Hira at a single time. And this is without coming back to his family. So he would take his zad, he would take his provisions, he would take water with him, he would take food with him, and then he would go to the mountain and he would remain there for nights at end. And he would think, and he would ponder. And this isolation was something which was beloved to him. He used to like going there. And of course, nowadays, just as a side point, many people, when they go to Mecca, they go to this mountain and they go to this cave, Al-Hira. And there are also other ignorant people who isolate themselves and they might spend nights in a mountain and they meditate. And they think this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just to clarify both of these points. First of all, the people who go to the cave Al-Hira, they climb it for At-Tabarruk. And the meaning of At-Tabarruk is seeking blessings. So they will go and they'll touch that cave. Or they will wipe their prayer mat on that cave. Or they will pray 2 rak'at in that cave, thinking there's some blessings because the Prophet is there. And this is not from Islam. So Islam isn't a religion which is about wiping your hands over people or touching the feet of the people and gaining blessings, going to people's graves, bowing at graves. This is not from Islam. Islam is about knowledge, righteous actions, and worshipping Allah alone. And the companions never did this action. The companions, they remained in Mecca for 13 years with the Prophet. Nobody ever climbed Al-Hira. When Mecca was conquered, and now the Muslims, they had authority in Mecca, none of the Sahaba ever climbed Mount Hira or would visit Mount Hira. And the Sahaba, they lived in Mecca. Nobody visited Al-Hira. So this isn't from the actions of Islam. And in terms of going and isolating yourself and meditating in a mountain, also this was something which was exclusive to the Prophet before he was a Prophet. After revelation came to him, it's never known that he isolated himself, or he meditated, or he would visit the caves and the mountains and stay there. And also, more so, this used to take place when he lived in a society which was full of evil and kufr, when there was no Islam, when all these evils were prevalent. When there were Muslims around the Prophet, then he never did this action. So it's never narrated that he went and meditated and he isolated himself in Al-Madina. So this isn't from the action of the Muslims. A Muslim is a person who is sociable and he interacts with the community, and he gives da'wah to the people and he bears the harms of the people. Then Aisha says in the hadith, ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَى خَتِيجَةِ فَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِمِثْلِهَا حَتَّى جَاءَ الْحَقِّ. And then he would come back to Khatija, his wife, and then he would take more provisions, and then he would go back to the mountain and stay there for more days. حَتَّى جَاءَ الْحَقِّ, until the truth came to him, until revelation came to him. The revelation, how did it occur? She said, فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ فَقَالَ اِقْرَأ. That one night, when the Prophet was in this cave all alone, from the many nights he would spend there, an angel came to him, a being came to him. And the being said to him, اِقْرَأ, recite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ, I am not somebody who can recite. Because Allah, from his wisdom, he chose the Prophet to be somebody who is ummi. And the meaning of ummi, the unlettered prophet, i.e. the one who is illiterate. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't know how to read or write. And a person might say, that where's the wisdom in this? Surely Allah should have chosen a man who's an intelligent person, an academic, somebody who is respected, and he's going to give the message to the people. Why did Allah choose for his prophet to be somebody who is illiterate? And this is because that when the Prophet came with his message to his people, nobody could say to the Prophet that this revelation you're coming with And these prophecies which you're mentioning, you read these in the Torah, and you read these in the Injil, and you read these from the philosophies of the Indians and the Greeks and the Romans. Nobody could say this. Why? Because the Prophet, he was an illiterate person. He couldn't read or write. So he never read the Torah. He never read the Injil. He never read the sciences and the philosophies. He never read poetry. So it's impossible for the Prophet to have read these prophecies and these stories from the Torah and the Injil and from the other tribes. So the Prophet said that when this angel came to him and said, Iqra, read, the Prophet replied, Ma ana biqari, I'm an illiterate person. I cannot read or write. He said, فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهَدِ. He said, so this being, of course at this time, the Prophet doesn't know that he's an angel. He said, this being took me and squeezed me until it was as if the life was coming out of me. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي. Then he left me free. And then he said to him, اقرأ, read. And then the Prophet said, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. I am not somebody who can read or write. I am illiterate. So then this being took the Prophet again and squeezed him. حَتَّى بَلَغْ بِيَ الْجَهْدِ. Until I was under pressure. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي. Then he relaxed and he left me. And then he said to him, اقرأ, read. اقرأ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Recite in the name of your Lord, the one who created you. خلق الإنسان من علق, the one who created man from علق. اقرأ وربك الأكرم, read, and your Lord is the one who is noble. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he repeated these words after the angel Jibreel. فرجع بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يرجف فؤاده. The Prophet at this stage, he still doesn't know what's happened. He doesn't know, is this an angel? Is this some type of ghost? Is it a figment of my imagination? Is something wrong with me? What's happened? So the Prophet returned to Mecca and he's anxious and his heart is fluttering and his thinking, his thoughts are all over the place. فَدَخَلَ عَلَى خَتِيجَ بِنْتْ خُوَيْلِدِ. The first person he went to was his wife Khatija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And he sent to her, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. Cover me, cover me. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sought refuge and he sought comfort in his wife Khatija. Because Khatija was his support and she was an intelligent person. So she covered the Prophet in a blanket. She made him lie down and she covered him sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a blanket. فَزَمَّلُوهُ حَتَّى ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الرَّوْعُ. So they covered him until the fear and anxieties, until they were removed. And then the Prophet informed Khatija about what had happened. He confided in his wife Khatija. And he said to her, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. That I am scared over myself. Meaning this thing which I have seen, was it something in my own imagination? Am I losing my mind? Is there a ghost that I've seen? Is there some jinn? What have I seen? Khatija radiallahu anha, she was an intelligent woman. She said, Kalla wallahi ma yukhzika Allahu abada. She said, I swear by Allah that the Lord of the heavens and the earth, He will never allow you to be humiliated. Why? Innaka latasilu rahim. Because you keep the ties of kinship. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, and you forbear the weak. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُوم, and you feed the one who has nothing. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْف, and you honor the guest. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقْ, and you help for the truth to be established. And remember, all of this is before Islam. So this is how the Prophet was before Islam. Truthful, trustworthy, keeping the ties of kinship, helping those who are needy, helping the poor, honoring the guest, establishing the truth. And then Khatija radiallahu anha, she had an uncle or a cousin whose name was Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And Waraqah ibn Nawfal, he was from the Christians, but a true Christian who believed and lived the true Christianity, the way of Isa alayhi salam. And his name was Waraqat ibn Nawfal ibn Asad ibn Abd al-Uzza, and he was the cousin of Khatija radiallahu anha. So she took her husband Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Waraqat ibn Nawfal, and he used to also read the revelation, and he used to write the revelation in Hebrew, and he used to write the Injil. He knew the Injil. وَكَانَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا قَدْ عَمِيَا. And at that time he was a very old man, and he had become blind out of his old age. So Khatija said to her cousin, يَبْنَعَمْ إِسْمَعْ مِنْ أَبْنِ أَخِيكِ. She said, "Oh my cousin, listen to your nephew." Meaning, "Oh my cousin, listen to this man, my husband, and what he has to say." So Warqat ibn Nawfal, he said to the Prophet, يَبْنَ أَخِي مَاذَا تَرَى. He said, "Oh my nephew," meaning he's a young man, "oh my nephew, what did you see? Tell me about your story." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told this old priest, this monk, about everything which had happened. And even at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he isn't quite sure what he has seen. So Warqat ibn Nawfal, the Christian monk, he said, he recognized what happened, because he was a man of the gospel. He said, "Hadha an-namus alladhi nazzala Allahu ala Musa." He said, "This is Namus." And Namus was the name that the Christians would give to angel Jibreel. He said, "This is the same angel who Allah sent to Musa with revelation." He said, "Ya laytani fiha jad'a." He said, "If only, I wish that when you give the message to your people, I wish I am a young person. I wish I was a young person. Why? Laytani akuna hayyan idh yukhrijuka qawmuka." He said, "If only I was a young person when your people exile you." So Warqat ibn Nawfal, he recognized that this story, it wasn't a ghost, it wasn't a figment of his imagination, this was the angel, the same angel which had come to Musa. And remember, the Christians at that time, they were awaiting the arrival of a prophet. So he recognized that this must be the prophet who has been prophesied in the holy scriptures. And then he said, Waraqa, that if only I was a young man, if only I was alive, I remain alive when your people exile you from your land. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Awa mukhrijiyahum," that will my people exile me from my own house? He said, "Na'am, of course." So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't understand, why would my people, my uncles, my aunties, my cousins, my tribe, and I am their friend, I am a sadiq al-ameen, they've never known me to be a liar, they've never known me to be treacherous, I've never harmed them, I help the weak, I help the orphan, I help the poor, I honor the guests, I keep the ties of kinship, awa mukhrijiyahum, why on earth are they going to exile me from Makkah, the place I was born in, the place I know, the place I love? Waraqa replied, he said, "Lam yati rajulun qat bimithla ma jita bihi illa udiya wa udiya." He said, "No man has come before with the same message that you have come with, except that he was made out to be an enemy and he was harmed by his people." He said, "Wa in yudrikni yawmuka ansurka nasran muazzara." If I lived until that day, then I will help you and I will support you. And Qaddar Allah, Warqat ibn Nawfal, he died before the Prophet came out to the people with his message. So this was the first revelation which came to the Prophet. And then after this, different revelations would come to him. And also Imam al-Bukhari mentions in the same chapter, the hadith of Aisha. She said that Al-Harith ibn Hisham, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, kayfa ya'tik al-wahi?" O Messenger of Allah, how does revelation come to you? He said, "Ahyanan ya'tini mithla salsalat al-jaras." That sometimes revelation comes to me like the ringing of a bell. Meaning he would hear something like a bell which is ringing. "Fa'a'ima yaqul," and I understand what is being revealed to me. وَأَحْيَانًا يَتَمَثَّلُ لِي الْمَلَكُ, and sometimes an angel comes to me in the form of a man. فَيُكَلِّمُنِي فَأَعِي مَا يَقُولُ, and then he speaks to me and I understand what he says. Meaning, and Allah knows best, that the revelation which would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it would usually come in one of three ways. Either it was a dream, and the dream of the Prophet is revelation and it is truth. Or it was a voice which you would hear. And this voice would be like the ringing of a bell, something which is painful for him. Or it would be an angel, but the angel comes in the form of a man. And the first two, particularly early on in his life. Of course, when revelation would come to the Prophet, sometimes the Prophet would be in his house. Sometimes he would be with his wife. Sometimes he may be sitting with his companions. And all of a sudden, revelation would come to him. And the companions, they could notice that the revelation is coming to the Prophet. Because all of a sudden, the Prophet would become silent. Or he would start sweating. Or he'd become pale. Or he'd become very still. So the people knew that some form of revelation is coming to him. And Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, she said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِ الْوَحِي فِي الْيَوْمِ الشَّدِيدِ الْبَرْدِ. She said, I would see the revelation coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a very cold day. فَيَفْصِمُ عَنْهُ وَإِنَّ جَبِينَهُ لَيَتَفَصَّدُ عَرَقًا. And he would become red or pale, and his cheeks and his forehead, sweat would be coming down, pouring from his body, even though it is a very cold day. And this is because when the revelation would come to the Prophet, this was the Quran. This was the speech of Allah. It wasn't a story or a book. Rather, it was the speech of Allah. And the speech of Allah is something which is heavy and weighty. And so when this revelation would come to him, it was something which was severe and difficult upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah said in the Quran, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Verily, we will give upon to you a very heavy word, a weighty word, either revelation. And I only mention these points so we understand the difficulty that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through in receiving this revelation and conveying this revelation. This Islam, it came to us, and when the Prophet would take this revelation, it was difficult for him. And he may start sweating, and he would go pale, and he would go still. And like Waraqa said, illa udhiya wa udhiya, and he was harmed, and he was tortured. And the companions as well, that they conveyed this Islam to us, and their blood was spilt, and their property was taken, and they were exiled from their lands. And this is how this Islam came to us. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't take the religion of Islam as something which is light or easy. As I mentioned, battles were fought, so this Islam came to us. And blood was lost, so Islam could be brought to us. And like the Sahaba would say to their children, they would say, La tudayyu ma'athira abaikum. They would say, our sons, do not allow the legacy of your forefathers to be wasted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan salihan wa rizqan tayyiba. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.